Welcome back. It's a Monday, the 12th day of June, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And over the weekend, folks, your host had the, opportunity, sad as it was, to attend the memorial service for dear friend, man of Yah, and co-host on a number of shows, most recently Drive Time Friday, the late Randy Yarborough. I got to meet the other co-host of the Drive Time Friday show, David Justice, for the first time in person, face-to-face, and to visit with a number of mutual friends, and that was a blessing, as well as to spend some time with Randy's widow, Heather. As you might expect, most, if not all, of Randy's friends are well aware of what's going on in Once Free America. And after the service and the meal, I talked with several longtime friends, and to a person, all of us agreed that one thing kind of characterized what we have seen over the last few months, and that is we're simply running out of superlatives, out of words to describe the level of evil, the level of, insanity, psychopathy. Pick a term, it doesn't quite cut it anymore, and that even includes words like outright satanic when it comes to describing how far gone things already are. And you know what, folks? That pretty well introduces the stories I need to start off with today. This isn't even the worst of them, but it is at least representative. Comes from the Daily Mail. As a matter of fact, several of these do, and part of the reason is because the Daily Mail, while it leans left, at least has lots of photos and almost seem to be beside themselves when it comes to trying to put headlines on some of this you-know-what. Here's one of them. Trans woman cyclist, sick, wins North Carolina race by crossing the finish line 5 full minutes ahead of the number 2 who would have won if it had been a real woman's cycling event. And the subheadlines point out the so-called woman was even filmed shoving a rival in a previous race. And that's arguably one of the lesser of its transgressions. A controversial, it says, and that is a kind of disgusting understatement, isn't it? Transgender female, who's kidding who? It's a cross-dressing pervert still sporting a penis. Won a North Carolina women's cycling event, beating its crestfallen rival by a whole 5 minutes. Austin Phillips, age 27, who was born with a you-know-what, throttled the competition on Saturday in a grueling 137-mile-long race and managed to establish an early lead in a race that was called the Belgian Waffle Ride and now ought to be called a farce. The fake female pulled out way ahead by the 13-mile mark, less than 10% of the way through the race, and proceeded to show why it is that there used to be a thing called women's cycling. And that's all I'm going to read out of this. There are pictures, and those are nothing but disgusting. There's a video of this scumbag pushing a real female cyclist off the track in a previous so-called race. And I think it's time to ask this question, although I'm certainly not the first, why even bother with so-called women's athletics anymore? If you don't have to be a real female, what's the point? Oh, yeah, and while I'm thinking about it, here's some clickbait from the very same source. The Daily Mail also has this headline, "Outraged," they say, over a bikini runway show fronted by a Playboy model over the lack of diversity. All the people in this runway show were evidently attractive women, and that has some of the viewers upset. No diversity, they whined. And ponder the irony here, folks, for just a second. Well, you'd think some of these people were talking about Target. Where are the hairy-chested things with bulges in the wrong places? Well, that may be as close as we get to humor for a minute, because I've been working up to this story. And this one, honestly, folks, is no longer even a warning shot or a sign of the times. It's a heat-seeking missile fired mid-torso. This version comes from Zero Hedge about a California bill, it says, that would punish actual parents, you know, the kind where there's a mama and a papa, for misgendering. That's their disgusting term. Children. And as is so often the case when it comes to absolute abominations, this is a proposed amendment to a California bill already in progress that would brand parents who refuse to affirm their child's gender as abusive, and therefore that would allow the almighty state to take them away and show them just who the real parents are, proposed by Democrat Assemblywoman. No, folks, let's be honest here. What we're really talking about is a perverted, traitorous, satanically psychopathic, anti-human, and which is too kind, but again, I'm running out of words, assembly member Lori Wilson, along with State Senator Scott Wiener, it says here. How's that for ironic? Since you can pretty well guess that's one thing among obviously several this guy certainly doesn't seem to have. Who last year suggested that offering Drag Queen 101 as part of the K-12 curriculum was apropos in the People's Republic. He also introduced a bill to grant leniency to certain preferred kinds of pedophiles, among a whole litany of other atrocities. Anyway, this abomination called, appropriately, AB 957, amends the state's family code. What a disgusting misnomer. To address the, quote, health, safety, and welfare of the child in every household, whether the parents like it or not. As the Daily Mail notes, if passed, the law could, and no doubt about it, folks, would result in children being removed from their actual parents' home if family members are deemed by the almighty tyrannical state to be, quote, anti-LGBTQ+, and they'll feel free to add more letters to that as the perversions continue to multiply. The bill was originally passed on May 3rd, amended June 3rd by Wiener, where it will now need to pass again, and no doubt about it, folks, we're talking California here, so you know what's going to happen, with revisions. Under the so-called code, courts are given complete authority to remove children from their actual homes if their parents, or at least the people that thought they were the parents, refuse to affirm whatever the almighty state says their gender really is. And it would require schools, churches, and other organizations. And you know what that means? And if you don't, be real careful. Anything the almighty state recognizes to follow suit, or they too would face repercussions for, get this, quote, impacting the health, safety, and welfare of a child. Destroying their immune system, taking them from their families, cutting off their genitalia, or injecting them with all kinds of state-approved drugs, of course, doesn't count. Now, at this point, I'll admit it again. I'm going to take a deep breath, and I need to ask a serious question to those people who are still in the communist, tyrannical People's Republic of California at this point. Because, really, inquiring minds want to know.
Are you crazy? Or just plain stupid?
Now, let me pause here, because obviously that was rhetorical, but only partly tongue-in-cheek. I understand people saying, hey, this is my home, I grew up here, I own property here, I don't want to leave, and I certainly understand all of that. And besides, who'd want to come in and buy a house there anyway? The only options to sell it to would be either people who don't want or can't have kids or are already utterly insane. I guess the question is, would you defend your property against someone who wanted to steal it from you by force? Well, hey, if you won't defend your property, how about if somebody wants to come and abuse, kidnap, or outright kill your kids? Are you finally going to do something about it? Or are you just going to sit there and let them take your kids along with your property? I guess what bugs me today and why I'm spending the time on this is it's one thing to talk about insanity. We've certainly seen it galloping for quite a while now. But it's another thing to realize that it's a cancer that's not only metastasized, but it's literally killing an entire civilization. Before we move on, a bit more here on the specifics, Nicole Peterson, founder of Facts, Law, Truth, Justice, told the Daily Signal that the law is, quote, and I can't help but think she's nailed this, horrifying and troublesome, to put it mildly, for parents everywhere, quote, if a parent or guardian is unwilling or simply not ready to affirm their seven-year-old's new identity as they transition from SpongeBob to Batman to Dora the Explorer, they can be found guilty of child abuse under AB 957 if it passes into, law, she said. It's a horrifying bill for children, for parents, and for guardians, not just in California, but across the country, said the woman who suggested that if California's so-called governor runs for U.S. president in 2028, he intends to bring the law to every state. And I can't help but think, no, things will have come to a head long before that. The traitorous Satanist Lori Wilson's office said that the bill only applies to family law and not to criminal law. And think about that for just a second, too, because I got to ask it. Let's just come right out here and make sure we put the important questions on the table. If somebody doesn't want their kids gang raped or their genitalia cut off, and they decide, hey, you know what? Anybody comes to my door and tries to take my kids by force, I'm going to blow them away. Has it now passed the line into criminal law? And you got to ask this question, too. Who's the real criminal here, and who actually deserves to be met with deadly force? And even the Daily Mail noted this, the language of the revisions and how they would be enforced is vague and ambiguous. Used to be there was a thing in the law, when we had real law, folks, called void for vagueness. It doesn't mention the age range of the children that it could apply to. It also doesn't distinguish between affirming and sex change. Instead, it just asks judges to consider parents' rejection or non-affirmation of their child's so-called gender. So I'll say it again, folks. I think we're way past the time when people that have half a brain need to take off the gloves and recognize what they're up against. To call this bullshit, and I have to use that term explicitly, is a gross understatement. And so, unfortunately, is even calling it satanic. Here's a very quick follow-up story, also again from the Daily Mail. A majority of Americans, says their headline, do not support, who could have thought it, so-called trans athletes competing against actual women. Nearly 70%, and you got to wonder what's wrong with the others, say that athletes should only be allowed to compete on sports teams that align with their real, genuine, God-given, birth gender, says a new survey from Gallup. Well, just wait until their homes get stolen, or their kids get taken away, or both. Well, folks, if that's not interesting enough to start things off today, here's another story, again, from the Daily Mail. They got lots of pictures on this one, and I can't help but think this one stinks to high heaven. The hair on the back of your neck should be standing up by now. The banner headline says, Disney heir, yeah, Abigail Disney, says her granddad is spinning in his grave because there has been a new video emerge of Nazi flags being waved outside of the Orlando theme park. And here some of us thought the Nazis were all inside the park, wearing costumes, mandating political correctness, handing out literature, and doing makeovers for little boys and girls. The so-called Nazis not only carried genuine great big red and black swastika flags, but also signs. What an amazing coincidence. Praising Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, showing his face and a label that says, DeSantis 2024, Make America Florida. It really is astounding how stupid they think people must be. And by the way, who do you think paid for those flags? And like I said, oh, the Daily Mail has lots and lots of photos. You know what? These guys look a lot like CHSs, or is it FBI agents, or just people that have been put up to it by their handlers to me. Yeah, color me very cynical. But if you weren't skeptical before, listen to this line from deep in the story. The Orange County Sheriff's Office said that deputies responded to the demonstration, which dissipated after about 2 hours. And this is a kicker. No arrests. And two whole, yeah, that's one, two, count them, so-called counter-protesters also showed up. I guess the rest were smart enough to know that they were being duped. Said the local sheriff's office in a statement, quote, we're aware of these groups that aim to agitate and incite people with anti-Semitic symbols and slurs. They are also aware of the law. The Orange County, and they said, the Orange County Sheriff's Office deplores hate speech in any form, but people have the First Amendment right to demonstrate, unquote. Well, folks, unless they're MAGA people or right-wing extremists or try to do it in Washington District of Criminals or anywhere close to the swamp, and don't even think about trying it at your local school board. Do you smell the rat yet? Well, wait a minute. The sheriff's office wasn't done. And while what these groups do is revolting and was condemned by the sheriff and the sheriff's office, they did not, to our knowledge, commit a criminal act. Well, neither, of course, does Antifa or BLM when they loot stores or burn buildings. And besides, I gotta wonder, can people on the FBI payroll ever actually commit a criminal act? Well, but wait a second here. Let's be fair. Do we know for sure that these Nazis were put up to it by Big Brother? Of course not. At least not until the documents that you're not going to be allowed to see come out, maybe 75 years or so down the line here. But it wouldn't be the first time. Wouldn't even be the 500th time that everybody paying attention that the KKK and the Nazis and just about everybody else would never have survived without FBI and other three-letter agencies paying their dues. Well, from there on, we go to the other big story of the day, which is the run-up to the already in progress and pretty much already a fait accompli if the deep state continues to get their way, rigging of the 2024 fake presidential election. And we now know that it started well before Hitler failed to rig successfully the 2016 election, and the FBI failed to prevent, and really, of course, that's the whole swamp and their other three-letter agency public-private partners, Donald Trump from taking office, but certainly managed to prevent the presidency from ever actually taking effect. And by now, I'm sure you've heard about the latest in the never-ending string of indictments of the man who actually won the 2020 election by probably the biggest landslide in American history, but you wouldn't know that to hear the ministries of truth tell it. What we're hearing instead is how a guy that's rightfully being called the UN's prosecutor, a true scumbag on the order of a James Comey or a Clapper or a Brennan, is basically trying to indict Trump for a non-crime, doing what other presidents have done, and he has every actual constitutional and statutory authority to do, and that's declassify documents. Constitutional attorney Robert Barnes appeared with Alex Jones on his Sunday show and made some pretty salient observations.
Well, what I see is a threefold approach that's taking place here. First of all, the deep state wants to take Trump out from being competitive in the 2024 election. As you noted, it is a preemptive strike against the 2024 election. They assume that the indictment will have enough voters doubt President Trump that they will be able to defeat him in the primaries or in the general election. The second goal, which is co-equally important, they are trying to establish a legal precedent.
And listen carefully to this, folks. I think Robert Barnes makes an excellent point here.
They are trying to establish a legal precedent that the deep state has priority over the elected president of the United States. It's important. I mean, the idea of classification, the idea of national security information, all that derives from the power vested constitutionally exclusively in the elected president of the United States. They're trying to establish a legal precedent that the president of the United States cannot even disclose to the American people the secrets of the deep state. Because that's the underlying allegation here, is that he told media members that General Milley was lying when General Milley was accusing Trump of trying to wage war in Iran. He said it was actually Milley who was trying to wage war in Iran, and Trump stopped him. And they're saying that was a criminal act. So they're saying that the elected president of the United States discloses to the American people the secrets of the deep state, they can go to prison for it. And they want to establish a legal precedent of that, so that this unelected administrative state, bureaucratic state, deep state in the intelligence community has legal constitutional control over the elected president of the United States and can prohibit and prevent those secrets from being disclosed to the world. That is the legal precedent they're trying to establish through the Trump case. So this isn't just about taking out Trump. This is the deep state versus democracy. This is the deep state trying to take out the Constitution itself. This is the deep state trying to remove the power of the elected president to share the secrets of the deep state with the American people.
And not only is he correct, but the importance of what he is saying here really can't be overstated. And he continues by pointing out that this is just an escalation of what we've seen going on now for decades at this point.
So, I mean, they assassinated President John Kennedy. They assassinated presidential candidate Robert Kennedy. They were behind the impeachment and resignation of Richard Milhouse Nixon. They were complicit in the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan. And now they are trying to not only take out President Trump, but permanently take out the constitutional power of the president of the United States sharing the deep state secrets, the warmongering machine, with the American people. So that's the second very perilous precedent trying to be established here. One is to interfere with the 2024 election and punish Trump for being an independent voice on foreign policy. The second is to prohibit any president from being an independent voice and exposing the deep state secrets. And the third aspect of all of this, I believe, is it's leverage for Biden. It's a tool by which Biden can use to potentially pardon himself, his family, his son, his sister, his brother, his political allies, many of the deep state corrupt people named and mentioned explicitly in the Durham report. And what it does is that when he does that pardon down the road, he can throw in a pardon of Trump as political cover for his pardoning himself and all of his corrupt allies.
And that, too, is a really great point. And if that's not disgusting, you have to ask, well, what is? I guess the answer there is we're finding out.
That it's effectively something he can put in his back pocket just in case.
Yeah, just in case they're not able to pull off the election rig already well underway. After quite a bit more discussion, Robert Barnes does get around to noting that there is a silver lining to this particularly disgusting cloud, and that has to do with whether or not the American people will wake up and see through what's being done.
You look at the long history of politically motivated prosecutions, what happens? The person who's indicted wins. They don't lose. Their audience rallies behind him because they see through it. Whether the attempted impeachments of people like Huey Long and Big Jim Folsom in Alabama, there's a long history of populists being targeted by corrupt actors in the system, and the people see through it. They know exactly what's happening. They needed a sexy case. You know, they needed a case where some soldier died because of some screw up Trump made. They don't have that. Instead, they have General Milley's lies being exposed. That's supposedly the great harm done by this indictment. This is as weak a case as you could possibly bring. And so factually, morally, politically, legally, constitutionally. So Trump just needs to fight back, and the people need to fight back on his behalf by electing him president and putting an end to this nonsense once and for all. I think one upside is more people are waking up every day, and Trump himself is waking up because of this. He's being forced to acknowledge the depth of corruption of the deep state. Bob Woodward's complicity, the media's complicity, Milley's complicity, the military
complicity, and on and on and on. Again, folks, the question is, what's it finally going to take for the American people to realize that if it's not already too late, once they manage to lock this down, it really will be. I do think this follow-up story is certainly apropos today. It comes from Jim Hoff via the Gateway Pundit, and it's really from the Wayback Machine, November 2021, and the irony is palpable.
And he begins by noting that 1 year ago today, Democrats committed what he called the greatest crime in U.S. history. Well, I guess that's short of the current COVID genocide. Maybe let's call it the greatest electoral crime in U.S. history. Democrats in the swamp, he said, with assistance from the fake news and socialist media giants, stole an historic landslide election from President Donald Trump and the Republicans. And in a stunning late-night comeback, Democrats were able to steal every single battleground state for the senile one, Joe Biden, a candidate with no campaign, no crowds, no enthusiasm, and no charisma. Pennsylvania was the most impressive of the so-called victories. The socialists there worked for several days behind locked doors and a never-ending supply of fresh ballots to steal a 795,000-vote lead from Donald Trump for a stunning victory for their candidate, the senile Biden Fuhrer. And the coordination between states, too, courtesy of the vote-rigging machines and, of course, the vote-counting algorithms, was certainly impressive. Five battleground states announced a pause to their counting, then dropped tens of thousands of votes for you-know-who in the wee hours of the morning to steal each of their states from President Donald Trump. And here are some funny facts that go with all of this. Biden won, sick, only 16% of the nation's counties. They've got a really, really red map to make that point. An historic low number of counties by the supposed winner of a national election, while Trump won every single bellwether county except one, and every single battleground race in the U.S. House. Huh, what are the odds? And if you realize that they're pretty close to absolute zero, the rest of the charade here becomes pretty clear. Republicans won 28 of 29 of the most competitive House races, thanks to the guy at the head of their ticket. Before rampant election rigging, there used to be something called coattails. Trump won Florida, Ohio, and Iowa, doing something that every winning candidate has accomplished since the year 1960. And Biden won even fewer counties than Obama. But still, they claim he had more votes than Obama, and indeed more votes than any other human in U.S. history. As one wag put it, this is amazing. When you can win a record low 17% of counties, lose black and Hispanic support, lose 18 out of 19 bellwether counties, lose Florida, Ohio, and Iowa, and then lose 27 of 27 House toss-ups, but still shatter the popular vote record. Are we buying this? President Trump won more of the black and Latino vote than any of his recent Republican predecessors since 1960. And data from Catalyst confirmed that Trump also won more women and voters of color in the year 2020 than he did back in 2016. And right there, folks, you'd think somebody could smell the rats, plural. Still, though, for the past year, the communist socialists have ruled as if they hold supermajorities in the U.S. House and the Senate to boot, pushing the most insane and suicidal policies, literally, in American history. And they even armed a terrorist state with billions of dollars in taxpayer-provided weapons, while Americans themselves are being disarmed and not allowed to have any of the stuff that the Taliban now shows off gleefully on YouTube. While other Americans still remain trapped in Afghanistan, but why not, says TGP, if you can steal any state at will, why even worry about elections? Still, though, let's not forget that a year ago, 300,000 votes magically appeared for senile, creepy, quid pro Joe Biden in the middle of the night to give him the win in Virginia. Those magical votes have yet to be explained, at least so far as the waste stream and the Supreme Court are concerned. And not only that, but the Democrats, the fake news media, and even the so-called Republican Party are completely incurious. And they close with the question that your host suggests really should be front and center today. Was the 2021 Virginia race a head fake by Democrats on the American public? After all, folks, don't forget for a second, absolutely nothing has really changed on the electronic vote front, or the electronic don't really vote, but just count them anyway front. So I guess the bottom line here they suggest is this is no time to drop your guard and take for granted whatever it is they're fixing to feed you next. And here, a year and a half later, it's really, really becoming undeniable. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.